Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the holiday weekend. I hope you're out in your backyard firing up a grill or a smoker or maybe at the cottage. How about down on the beach, man? Just get it going. Get your grill or your smoker going. And I wanted to finish up this conversation about beef. A lot of people grill their beef, but not a lot of people smoke their beef. I mentioned that I took a brisket off the smoker. Chaz, talk about smoking beef versus grilling it. What kind of cuts of beef do you usually do when you smoke?
I like the ribs. You know, I like something with a little more connective in it and stuff that I'm going to go low and slow and break it down. You know, it's for ribs for me, it's either the crock pot or the smoker.
Right.
And, you know, you can impart some flavor into them with a little marinade and put them out there on the smoker. I'm a big fan of red oak. I mean, you and I talk all the time about the oaks that I take down and I pick pieces when we're cutting firewood that are going to be smoker wood.
Yeah. In parts, just that's a real northern flavor. You know, you're not on their pecans or your fruit woods or something like that. But the smoke, you know, not a lot of ladies that I cook for like heavy smoke, just a little wisp of it. And that oak isn't too heavy. I mean, it provides just a really nice little smoky flavor.
And it gives just a hair of a bitter bite to it.
Yep.
You know, and as a beer guy, you know, with my big IPAs and everything.
Right.
That little bitter bite is very appealing.
Well, let's talk about that. So those smoked ribs that you do on the smoker, what kind of beer are you going to drink with those?
Well, I'm going to either probably go to a big IPA or a big stout.
Okay.
And a lot of people say no stout in the summer, but I'm not a believer in that.
Right.
I mean, if you like the dark beer has its place paired with the correct food.
Sure. You're a stout guy. So I get it, man. I get it. Bob, I want to talk a little bit about, before we jump into the next protein, is that give a little shout-out to Charlie Jabor, this shish kebab recipe. This is beef. Before I get into the recipe, if I wanted to make shish kebabs, because I enjoy serving food like that, it's on a stick, it goes well in a picnic, you can grab it up and you can, you know, just get a little manly and bite the, slide a piece off that skewer. What kind of cut of beef would you use to put onto a skewer?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, tri-tips are good. Anything exactly what Chess said earlier, anything with some marbling. A lot of people that see marbling on their beef, they think it's going to be tough, but fat is flavor.
Right.
So it's got to be something like that on the kebab, and definitely alternating that with some other flavors in there. Obviously, onions and peppers are a staple item on a kebab. But other things you could put on there, even some root vegetables, some light root vegetables like parsnips and rutabagas, kind of add a little bit of uniqueness to that. So that's
I love the taste of a tomato, but I get frustrated every time I put one on there because they pop
exactly
as they're cooking. The little cherry tomatoes, the grape ones are a little tougher, but the cherry tomatoes, they pop, and then there's a mess all over and your plate and the grill. So, but anyway, My shout out to Charlie Jabor, Bob's father-in-law, passed away this week. If you're just tuning in, you didn't hear a little tribute at the beginning, but World War II veteran, one of those great Americans that made our company what it is, our country rather, what it is. And he had a marinade recipe that we used over and over and over. Go to thegrillingguys.com and just put in the search word Charlie, and this will come up. But for this marinade, as Bob said, you want a little bit of acidic in it, and the marinade will break down and make that connective tissue a little easier to chew when you're cooking it. So this one's got wine vinegar, olive oil, lemon juice, thyme, pepper, bay leaves, salt, and then a little bit of garlic. So you can see your aromatics in there with the thyme and the garlic and the bay leaves are adding just a flavor layer in there that maybe other than you know, the simple things that you do with salt and pepper, it is going to give it a little bit of a zing. So check that out on thegrillingguys.com, and you will not be disappointed. And Charlie, we're thinking about you, and Bob, you and your family, we're thinking about you as well. Moving on, let's go down the meat case to the king of all barbecued meats, and that's pork. If you've done anything on the grill, you've done pulled pork, or on the smoker, rather, you've done pulled pork. You do on the grill, you've done pork chops, you've done kielbasas and sausages. All of those things are all pork-based meats. I want to talk a little bit of safety about pork with you, Bob. What do we have to do when we have raw pork product that we're getting ready to cook. Anything, any tips you would have?
One thing that you have to keep in consideration when you're dealing with pork or even poultry is when you marinate it or put it in a brine, it's going to have like a pinkish tint to it naturally. Especially with pork, some of the nitrates are going to come out. So even if you temp it out and it's at 165, 185, it's going to be kind of look medium rare. But it's what happens with especially pork. Those nitrates will come out and give it a little bit of a pink kind of tint to it. And a lot of people get kind of nervous, kind of like with chicken, for example. If you're grilling a piece of chicken and you see this redness around the bone, even though you temped it out, they get really nervous about that. And I respect that and definitely be concerned about it. But if you're marinating and brining something with pork, it's going to have a little bit of pinkness to it, and you can't avoid it. It's going to bring those nitrates out.
Nothing that harms you.
No.
Right. And the nitrates that you are talking about are natural. That's not like injected by a processor. That's a natural part of the meat, correct?
Excellent. Yes. Yep. Excellent point.
Okay. So, Chaz, I fired up the smoker last night, and it's a holiday weekend. I had 4 pork butts on there, and I used a pellet smoker last night. And interestingly enough, pork butts are a dense piece of meat. It's actually the front shoulder. It's not the butt, but that's what they're called, is pork butts. Now, I chose the boneless ones, but it was only because I couldn't find the bone-in ones where I was shopping. So I prefer the bone-in only for the reason is it tells me when they're done. That meat retracts back off that bone, and when you get about a half inch of that shoulder blade showing, then it's like, okay, this is really close. It's done. So, you know, smoking is a long period of time, right? So I put the thing on, and I go to bed, and I set my alarm to get up at 2 a.m. to check it, right? And lo and behold, I had 4 butts on a pellet smoker. The 2 that were closest to the firebox were done, and the other 2 weren't. So I pulled them, and then I went back to bed and, of course, missed the second alarm. And I got up this morning, and those other 2 butts were now at 204, and I like to pull them at about 190. So the difference is I let them rest, and I pulled them all at the same time. I got real nice, long, stringier pieces of pulled pork the way I like it on the ones that were done at 190. But the ones that I got over 200, it's a little bit mealy. I mean, it broke down. I don't get the nice, long strands of meat. It breaks down into much smaller pieces. Is that still edible, that the ones that I overcooked a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's edible. But exactly what you said, it is going to be a little bit tougher. I would probably, if I'm going to serve something like with pulled pork, I would compensate that with a little bit of fat, maybe in the pan or a crock pot or in the chafing pan to kind of compensate that and keep it moist. And you could use varieties of different types of fats in there, but it would be nice to reserve the fat that's already on that
right.
pork butt and keep that in there because that's going to be just great flavor in there.
Yeah. Chaz, any tips on, you smoke tons of pork butts. I know you do.
I do a ton of pork butts. Today, I'm doing a whole hog.
Oh, okay.
And for the Yacht Club, it's our annual thing. And, you know, I had that big issue of temperature with a whole hog. Where do you take the temperature? And I use multiple probes to kind of work it out. Now, a trick on a whole hog I'm going to share with everybody is that I put onions around it. I do belly down on a tray. And halfway through, I just pour onions all over this thing.
Whole onions or cut?
Whole. I don't even take the paper off them. Just the whole thing. And then when we're breaking down the pig to serve, what we're going to do is we're going to quick peel them with some gloves on, cut them into quarters, and they've sucked up pork fat. They go first, believe me.
Ooh.
It is a delight, and I even sneak some heads of garlic in there.
Oh, it's with the onions.
With the onions in the pork fat that's running out of the pig, it's awesome.
It's laying right on the smoker.
Yep. When I recoil halfway through my cook, then I put in my onions and they get cooked and they're just melting your mouth. Awesome.
So you're using like a sweet onion of Vidalia or something like that.
Just Michigan whites.
Wow. Very cool. Coming up next, we might talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts with your meats on the holiday weekend. Make sure that we don't create a problem for the rest of the family. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.